Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we are talking about some further reporting on Tesla and Indonesia. We also have news on Tesla surpassing BMW this year in the United States in the premium segment to take the leadership position there. Got a few vehicle updates, some news on Tesla Solar, and more. Looking at the stock, Tesla today up 3.7%, closing at $123.22, performing, I guess, pretty closely in line with Tesla's beta, the NASDAQ up 1.75%. So doesn't really feel too much like an outperformance, especially given that Tesla was really outperforming that beta early on this morning, but kind of trailed off a little bit in terms of that relative performance throughout the day, unfortunately. Tomorrow will be interesting in the market. Of course, we have the CPI report in the morning. Expectations for that are for core CPI to increase 0.3% month over month, and the headline number, including energy, to be flat month over month. So we'll see how that comes in tomorrow. Some interesting things that could also move the market a little bit. We do have President Biden preparing to deliver some remarks tomorrow morning on the economy and inflation from the White House. So we'll see what comes of that alongside this CPI report. All right, getting into the news, some interesting reporting today. Bloomberg covering here, we'll just read the headline. Tesla closes in on preliminary deal for Indonesia EV plant. They say that factory would produce as many as 1 million cars a year. And that, you know, as we have known, Elon Musk has met with leadership in Indonesia on many occasions over the last couple of years as we have followed. So we won't go into the article, but Elon, and for the reason that Elon replying to a Tasmanian article on this today covering this topic, saying, please be cautious about writing articles citing quote-unquote unnamed sources as they are frequently false. So I think that's, in general, good advice. Unfortunately, this is just how the media kind of operates and kind of has to operate. I mean, if Bloomberg had reported this and I had not covered this today, we got a ton of questions about that and it wouldn't really have made sense. And we do get a lot of information that does actually end up being true out of these types of reports, because obviously if something leaks out, generally that is going to be from an anonymous source. So oftentimes those are not correct, but we still have to discuss them. We still have to analyze whether or not we think they are correct, the meritability, that's probably not a word, but the merits of them, and, you know, the likelihood of them being true. So it's a tough position to be in, but, you know, it's just kind of what we have to sort through on a day-to-day basis. But, you know, this isn't necessarily, if we focus in on this report on Indonesia, this isn't necessarily a denial from Elon on the report itself. Kind of looks a little bit that way. But as I mentioned, we have had for a couple of years now a lot of back and forth with Indonesia and Tesla. I think Tesla very interested in Indonesia's nickel supply. Indonesia is very interested in bringing the sort of full stack factory from raw materials to actually outputting vehicles and not just having people come in and export their valuable raw materials out. So I think that's probably where the conversations continue to be. You know, whether or not we do see an actual plant there remains to be seen. Of course, we know that Tesla, or we have a lot of confidence that Tesla is exploring things in Mexico based on similar meetings and similar reports like this. It's probably worth noting, especially along the lines of these unconfirmed sources, that we did now pass the date that was supposed to be the announcement from that leaked report that we had for the Texas or the Tesla factory in Mexico. So it's a good thing to keep in mind. Hopefully by the earnings call in, I guess, 2 weeks from today, we'll hear a little bit more about Tesla's factory plans. And if not, I would be pretty sure by March 1st, when we do have the investor day, we'll probably end up knowing a lot more by then at that point. All right, moving on, we've got an update here from Automotive News. They have been tracking United States vehicle sales. Sometimes these are directional, but I think in this case we get big enough of a gap that we can be pretty confident in this. Automotive News is saying that Tesla has taken the lead in the U.S. luxury market. So the article is paywalled here, but Sawyer Merritt shared a couple of things. We can see how the sales broke out by brand. Tesla coming in at roughly 491,000 vehicles in the United States this year. Of course, we have more firm numbers from automakers that do report those domestic sales here in the United States. I guess not domestic for them, but sales in the United States individually. BMW coming in second at 333,000. So quite the big lead there for Tesla. You know, that'd be almost 50%, roughly 50% above where BMW is. with roughly 56% growth year over year. Tesla was close last year, unsurprisingly passing them this year, but always fun to see Tesla take those leadership positions in those markets that they are involved in. And I think right now there's been a lot of the market that's kind of forgotten that this is how it works. Tesla enters a market, takes the lead in that market, takes the most market share, and then moves downstream and conquers a new market. And right now there's no faith in Tesla doing that again, but it's coming. And, you know, the market will return to viewing that potential again at some point in the future. So still a lot to be excited about, but I think this is a good reminder of, you know, what Tesla does in those markets. And a really great quote here that Sawyer also grabbed from the article from, not sure exactly who was saying it, but it's valid regardless. Not only do luxury buyers want EVs, but the one that only sells EV is now the sales leader. If you want to be at the top of the luxury segment, you've got to beat Tesla, and you've got to do it with EVs, which I think is, you know, extremely clear. Tesla, the only one growing, I believe the only one growing in this segment. Would need to double check on that, but obviously the most significant growth there for Tesla. One thing that I just want to kind of comment on, we used to, many years back, early days of Tesla Daily, track search interest for Tesla versus, you know, Mercedes versus BMW. For the last couple of years, Tesla in the United States has indexed a little bit above BMW. It's kind of interesting though, you know, we see them as relatively stable and pretty equivalent over the last couple of years, but we see Tesla sales continuing to grow. So I don't have much more to add to that, but I just thought it was kind of interesting that maybe you would expect Tesla to have increased a little bit more in terms of relative search interest from Google Trends, especially with Tesla probably dominating in terms of online selling versus dealerships. But looks like those are still holding pretty steady. So maybe a good reminder of the lack of value, perhaps, of that data from time to time, but obviously, you know, still interesting to look at in some cases. All right, moving on, we've got an update here on Tesla Solar. So this was, I believe, published by Tesla probably late last year, but I'm not sure that I don't think we discussed it yet, and I think it popped up on Reddit today, someone coming across it. So great time to talk about it. It's just a solar architecture white paper. It's relatively short, about 13 pages. Tesla talks about basically their strategy for inverters and why they feel they're in a leadership position in that area. It's obviously a huge business, not an expert in the business, but Tesla's basically walking through their case here and laying out how they view their role in the market, and really just explaining their strategy with their string inverter versus micro inverters that we see in use by Enphase and companies like that, which are going to be more expensive and more efficient. But Tesla basically laying out the case here, saying that in most cases, the expense is not going to return a lower cost of energy on a total levelized basis across the entire ownership or entire life of the product. So Tesla basically arguing for simplicity, one inverter over many devices, and lower cost that then brings the total cost of the system over its life down on a unit basis. So that's the gist of it. Tesla here also talks about how they've got inverter expertise because of their inverters and their vehicle. Tesla says that they have 33 times more inverters built and delivered than SolarEdge and Enphase combined, which is pretty staggering when you think about it. Different use cases, but still Tesla in that, you know, very much in that power electronics category with the other areas of their business. They talk about reliability with fewer devices here, scalability to do the entire United States or solar for every home in the United States would be only 140 million versus 2.8 billion devices. Obviously that can mean different things depending on if the one device is more complicated, but obviously with the lower price here, generally not the case. And then Tesla having one ecosystem to manage all energy products from one app. So that's kind of the gist of it. Basically Tesla arguing, hey, lower cost might not be quite as efficient, but basically the efficiency for most cases, most use cases, is not worth the trade-off of the higher cost, at least at these prices at this point in time. So obviously that changes depending on the install, and there are some situations where it might make sense for a different one, but that is Tesla's basic premise with this white paper. So pretty interesting. I can find that on Tesla's website if you're interested in reading more about that. And then just a couple updates here on vehicles and factories. So Joe Tegmeyer continuing to do great work at Giga Texas with the drone videos. We're seeing more and more Hydra crates shipping in and rolling into Giga Texas, which is really exciting. You know, hopefully we eventually see those come to a stop and the GigaPress actually operating, but it's fun to see those rolling in every day. And very exciting for the outlook for the Cybertruck, which we do have a rumor on. So we'll go back to Elon's point here, just, you know, exercise some caution with this. But like I said, we kind of have to talk about it because oftentimes this is where we do get information that ends up being valuable. But somebody did share on Facebook today that they have a family member that works for an automotive airbag supplier, Autoliv, and they have told them, the family member has told this person that is sharing this, that they have the airbag contracts for Cybertruck and that a company in Utah just got a contract to manufacture, or sorry, that's redundant, but they say that they are expected to have a large shipment sent to Texas sometime this summer. So that would align with what we know about the aspirational timeline for Cybertruck development. Maybe doesn't tell us a whole lot in terms of that being on track or not, but at least gives us some confidence that the supply chain at this moment, if this is accurate, which again, grain of salt, but if accurate, this would put us, you know, in that timeline for the supply chain at this moment as well, which would be, I think, a good sign. I've also got an update here on the Tesla Semi. So Zangler on Twitter, who has done some good job tracking this in the past, has noticed, I believe he says here, that there are 8 more Tesla Semis that are currently being completed. In the video, I think there's only a couple here, but he mentioned seeing a couple other elsewhere. So hopefully that would be accurate. I think the reporting from this person has been pretty accurate before. So we'll see on that. But looks like some more Semis have been rolling out of production there at Giga Nevada, which is always nice to see. And then we may have a little bit of an update here on the Tesla Roadster. Again, same caveat would apply with the sort of anonymity of sources here. And I would layer on a caveat that we often get imperfect information from store employees, and that is where this is being reported from as well. But somebody here on the Tesla Motors Club forum noting that they had a call to try to get their deposit back for the Roadster. They say that it took 20 minutes to get somebody on the line, and that person then came back and said that they were being told that Elon has said that they will deliver these in Q2 or Q3 of this year. Asked to verify that she meant 2023, so this year, and then they said yes in 2023. So again, probably even an even larger grain of salt than anything else that we discussed in this episode. I wouldn't really put much stock in this. Q2, you know, that's 3 months away. I think we'd be seeing some signs of more action on that if that were the case. Q3, maybe not out of the question, but again, we've, you know, over the years, there are too many times to count where we've had information come from stores, employee communication like this that really just has not come to fruition. So mostly just passing this along in case you did happen to see that and sharing my thoughts on the likelihood of that. You know, I wouldn't rule it out, but personally, this doesn't really change my thoughts on Roadster expectations. All right, last couple of things here. Financial Times reporting today that the German car industry has called for European policy changes to basically react to the Inflation Reduction Act and some of the policies put in place by the United States, which could be viewed as, you know, sort of against free trade and a little bit more of a protectionist type of structure. So European Union, if that is the view, and you know, that's a whole another conversation that we could have about all of those policies and things like that. But if that is the case, and that, you know, sort of puts a relative disadvantage in terms of investment happening more in the United States versus in Europe, then it could make sense for Europe to institute somewhat similar policies to incentivize that investment in Europe as well. Which, again, you know, whether that's good or bad, obviously up for a lot of debate, but if that did happen, it would put Tesla in a really interesting position, having manufacturing footprints in both, and probably being the most well-positioned to be able to take advantage of those types of incentives if they did come through. So that'll be really interesting to watch. Obviously, there's been, you know, negotiations and pushback from some of the implementation of the IRA with other nations and the United States, and that could still yield some changes, but if not, it'll be interesting to see how other countries react with their own policies as well. And then the last thing here, update from Ryan McCaffrey. He hosts the Ride the Lightning Tesla podcast, which, as I've said many times, I would definitely recommend. He does that every week on Sundays. And this time he is going to be doing an interview with Franz von Holzhausen, Tesla's chief designer, this Sunday, January 15th. So that gets published at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 a.m. Pacific. Super happy for Ryan that he got that interview. This is the second time that Franz has been on that podcast. So definitely keep that on your calendar. and check that out this weekend. We'll see if there's anything exciting that Franz has to share with us. And that'll wrap it up for today. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday, January 12th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.